Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, September 14th, 2017. We begin today's reading with the article headlined, Construction Underway for ISU's New Front Door, by Lenore Sabota. Normal. Illinois State University will have a new front door and a more welcoming atmosphere for visitors when a major renovation project at its Bone Student Center is completed in 2.5 years, school officials say. The formal groundbreaking will be at 10:30 a.m. Friday, but work began a couple of weeks ago. No tax money is involved, and student fees were not increased for the project, which is being paid for primarily with reserve funds, according to information provided when the Board of Trustees approved the project in 2015. The $33 million project, to be done in three phases, includes renovation of the Brown Ballroom, improvements to the west entrance with the addition of a reception area for people attending events, and construction of a new east entrance with a multi-story addition that will include an information center for visitors and students. It really does make a front door to our campus, said David Gill, Director of Facilities Planning. We're enthusiastic about it. We think it will be a big improvement for the campus. Levister Johnson, Vice President for Student Affairs, said the upgrades to the 44-year-old building will transform the experience and your perception of the campus and how you're being welcomed. Most visitors to campus, other than those attending sporting events, park in the Bone Student Center lot and are greeted by what is essentially the backside of the building, with no view of the main campus. They have to find their way to the admissions office at Hovey Hall, following redbirds painted on the sidewalks. Gill admits it is not the most inviting side of our campus. After the renovation, there will be a welcome center where people can meet for tours and look out over the campus. Plans also call for a grand staircase that will be aligned with the overpass that takes pedestrians over College Avenue to the main part of campus. Imagine walking up that staircase and seeing the quad in all its grandeur, said Johnson. The staircase area also will have an accessible ramp and pathway to an elevator, according to Gill. Johnson sees the project as offering opportunities not only for current and future or prospective students, but also for alumni, the campus as a whole, and the community at large. The new reception area will provide a place to gather before functions in the Brown Ballroom, rather than standing in the main hallway. Renovations also will improve the ability to partition the ballroom space, said Johnson. The bookstore will be moved from its obscure upper-floor location to the first floor on the east side of the building, with its own entrance to the outside, allowing it to keep its own hours, said Johnson. One of the criticisms we've heard repeatedly about the Bone Student Center is it is like a bunker with no windows, said Johnson. To address that, the roof will be raised in some areas and windows will be added above to let in more natural light. The project is about more than looks. Gill and Johnson both pointed out that needs and expectations have changed since the center was built in 1973. For example, outlets will be added to meet the demand for places to charge electronic devices. The catering kitchen will move to the first floor, and an expanded food court will take its place, offering a variety of options. The first phase will last through February 2019. The Student Center will remain operational throughout the project, although some portions of the building will be closed during certain periods, according to Gill. He said everyone is working together to minimize disruption, and those who oversee events scheduling are closely involved. I look at these new facilities and see all the new opportunities to celebrate, to engage, to learn, and to have fun, said Johnson. The next story is entitled, District 87 Vows to Protect Immigrant Students, by Julia Evelsizer. Bloomington. Students worried about deportation or judgment based on their family's citizenship were told they have nothing to fear while attending Bloomington District 87 schools. The District 87 School Board approved a resolution on Wednesday affirming the district as a welcoming and safe environment for all students, regardless of immigration status. The resolution doesn't fundamentally do anything in terms of policies and procedures we already have in place, but it sends the clear message to students that you mean something to us and we care about how you're feeling. We wanted to show in a very public way that we support you and will do all we can to keep you safe, said Superintendent Barry Riley. Riley said there are probably students enrolled in District 87 who come from illegally immigrated families, but said he hopes the resolution will alleviate any worries those students may be feeling after recent changes to Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA. This sends a message to the general community so those kids and their families know we have their back, said Riley. The teacher in front of them in the classroom will be more important than anything we do here. The idea for the resolution was developed by a group of teachers who were approached by students who said they were afraid of deportation and being uprooted from their homes and schools. Kim Tabor, a teacher at Bloomington Junior High School, read comments from worried students to the board. "I worry when I go home I won't see my parents and I'll be left alone with my siblings," Tabor read from a student comment. "It means a lot that the resolution was so strongly supported by the board," said Tabor after the meeting. "We want to see students feel successful in a country where they don't often get that message. To hear it straight from the district is powerful." BJHS teacher Helen Brandon said students of immigrant families often feel forgotten, devalued, and an unwelcome member in the community. "We welcome you and care about you," said Brandon. In a climate where outside voices are not always supportive and are sometimes frightening, we want to help kids hear firmly that they are wanted here with us at school, added Julie Riley, BJHS teacher. Gavin Nickerson, a freshman at Normal Community West High School, attended the District 87 meeting as a member of Not in Our School, a group against bullying and discrimination in schools. "I feel that these issues and worries with students are more prevalent. I'm sure it's hard for those students to go home where they are accepted and loved, and then go to school where they are worried that people don't accept them. This gives me hope," said Nickerson. McLean County Unit 5 Superintendent Mark Daniel said the Normal-based district has discussed the resolution with District 87, particularly how the district partnered with teachers to develop the message. Unit 5 will begin a similar process, and we expect it could result in a resolution as well, said Daniel. Here's a story entitled, "Council to Discuss Proposed Brewery. Historic White Place Neighborhood Could Get New Addition," by Kevin Barlow. Bloomington. The owners of a proposed microbrewery in Bloomington plan to open next spring, but some neighbors are opposed to the plan and will bring their concerns next month to the Bloomington City Council. Jeff Moroz and Mike Hoff have received the go-ahead from the Bloomington Liquor Commission for the Keg Grove Brewing Company to be located at Constitution Place at 712 East Empire Street. "We are very community-focused and community-centralized," Moroz said. "We want to be an active part of the community and be located in the heart of Bloomington." The brewery will produce its own beer and will not sell any other products. "Beers will sell for about $5," he said. "There will be no food sold on location." Moroz, an elementary teacher and college-level educator, has been home brewing for more than 5 years. Hoff has worked as a landscape designer for more than 10 years and started home brewing about 3 years ago after meeting Moroz. But some neighbors of the nearby historic White Place neighborhood voiced objections to the plan at a Liquor Commission meeting on Tuesday. Kate Munninghoff said her property would be 6 feet from the proposed microbrewery, and she has concerns about foot traffic, noise, alcohol issues, and decreased property values. "This home has been in the family for 62 years," she said, "and because of this, we may have to move. Please don't put a bar in my backyard." Keith Brotheridge, also a White Place resident, said he had concerns about increased traffic in the neighborhood. The location also is near Constitution Trail. "I have yet to hear about what assets this will bring to the neighborhood," he said. "What will bring that is positive to the area? This is a brewery." Eric Rankin, a McLean County board member, spoke in favor of the proposed plan. "I understand the nature of moving a business near an existing residential area," he said. "I have toured the facility, and the changes that they are making to the facility will make it friendly to the neighborhood. They have engaged the neighborhood, talked individually, and reached out to the people in the neighborhood and tried to meet their concerns. Their business plan has reflected that they care about the community and want to be a partner in this area." Moreau said that the production of all beer will be done during normal business hours. The owners also will work with food truck companies and other partners to ensure there is no impact on area residents. "We care, and I understand that we are disappointing some people," Moreau said. "But we want to work with them and prove we can be good for the area." The commission approved the license with several conditions, including that there would be no gaming devices or wine produced at the location. The council will consider the matter on October 9th. The next article is entitled "Main Street, Illinois 9, Under Construction. Expect Delays, One-Way Streets into November," by Derek Bay. Bloomington. Drivers can expect delays on two major Twin City thruways thanks to road work that started this week. U.S. 51 business from Osage Street to Robb Road, a stretch including all of Main Street on the Illinois State University campus. An Illinois 9 from Tawanda Barnes Road to east of Illinois 165, all east of Bloomington, are under construction through the end of November. At least one lane will remain open in each direction, according to Illinois Department of Transportation releases on each project. To avoid the work area when feasible, use of alternate routes should be considered. IDOT is overseeing both projects because they're on state roads. Road Construction of Bloomington will get $1.5 million to work on Illinois 9 and $300,000 for Main Street. Construction on Main includes sidewalk upgrades to comply with the Americans with Disabilities Act. The affected area includes a commercial district near ISU that gets heavy foot traffic from students. Work on Illinois 9 includes patching, milling, and resurfacing. Illinois 165, also known as County Road 2300 East, runs through Myrna. Drivers are urged to pay close attention to changed conditions and signs in the work zones, obey the posted speed limits, restrain from using mobile devices, and be on the alert for workers and equipment, according to the release. Other local roads under construction include Veterans Parkway near Main Street for resurfacing, Tawanda Avenue at Vernon Avenue for a new turn lane, traffic signal, and other upgrades, and Linden Street from Locust Street to Empire Street for bridge replacement and street widening. Other local work this summer includes bridge deck improvements on Oakland Avenue over Interstates 55 and 74, bridge replacement on Illinois 9 between County Roads 3200 East and 3300 East near Arrowsmith, and structure replacement on County Highway 5 at Sangamon Creek, north of Saybrook. The next story is headlined, "Bloomington Police Department, One Dead in Crash, Searching for Second Vehicle." Bloomington. One person is dead following a crash Wednesday morning near Bloomington, and police are searching for a vehicle seen leaving the scene. Bloomington Police and Bloomington Fire Rescue were called to the area of Morrissey Drive and Chrisman Lane on Bloomington's southeast side around 11:30 a.m. Officers located two occupants in a vehicle with serious injuries. Witnesses told police the other vehicle left the scene, traveling north on U.S. 150. No other information, such as a description, was released about the vehicle. The McLean County Coroner's Office was called to the scene, and one of the occupants was pronounced dead at 12:43 p.m., according to a statement from the Bloomington Police Department. An autopsy is scheduled for Thursday. The name of the victim was not released as of late Wednesday afternoon. A man who also was in the vehicle was transported by Bloomington Fire Rescue to OSF Healthcare St. Joseph Medical Center for treatment. His name and condition were not released. Morrissey was closed between Rhodes Lane and Woodrigg for much of the day, but was reopened by late afternoon. The Bloomington Police Department's Criminal Investigations Division is conducting the investigation. Anyone with information is asked to contact Detective Tim Power at 309-434-2579 or tpower@cityblm.org. BPD is working with the McLean County Coroner's Office in the investigation. If you want to remain anonymous, call McLean County Crime Stoppers at 309-828-1111. If your call leads to the arrest and indictment of suspects, you may be eligible for a reward of up to $1,000. Here is a breaking story headlined, Body Found in Creek Near Constitution Trail, by Pantograph Staff. Normal. Authorities continue to investigate the discovery of a body found Wednesday in a creek along Constitution Trail. Around 4:06 p.m. Wednesday, the Normal Police Department responded to the 300 block of South Veterans Parkway for a report of a body in a creek. Upon arrival, officers and detectives located a deceased man. The McLean County Coroner's Office pronounced the man dead at the scene. The man's name is being withheld pending notification of family members. An autopsy is scheduled for Thursday. The investigation is ongoing. Anyone who traveled through this area, including on Constitution Trail, during the past 3 days, and believes they may have information regarding this case, is asked to contact Detective Brad Park at 309-454-9527 or bpark@normal.org. If you want to remain anonymous, call McLean County Crime Stoppers at 309-828-1111. If your call leads to the arrest and indictment of suspects, you may be eligible for a reward of up to $1,000. The next story is entitled, Food Bank Open House, New Headquarters for Midwest Food Bank in Normal, by Paul Sweech. Normal. Midwest Food Bank, in the middle of its Hurricanes Harvey and Irma relief efforts, has announced an open house at its new headquarters, 2031 Warehouse Road. The food bank, which distributes food and supplies to not-for-profit agencies and disaster sites without charge, will open to the public 2 to 5 p.m. September 21st, with a ribbon-cutting ceremony at 4 p.m. When we began this effort on our family farm south of Bloomington, I never would have envisioned it becoming this large, Midwest Food Bank President and CEO David Keyser said in a prepared statement. We have tried to follow the Lord's leading, and He has provided blessing after blessing. The faith-based nonprofit organization moved its headquarters, including offices, warehouse, and distribution center, from 1703 South Veterans Parkway, Bloomington, to 2031 Warehouse Road, Normal, in April. The Warehouse Road location had been the site of Bloomington Normal Seating Company, a Mitsubishi Motors North America supplier that closed in December 2015 after the car plant ceased production. Kieser told the Pantograph last fall that the food bank had outgrown the Veterans Parkway building. The new location is nearly 100,000 square feet, almost quadruple the size of the former location, has additional space for frozen and refrigerated items, has 8 more loading docks, and increased parking. Signs Direct moved into the Veterans Parkway building in July. The increased space has allowed Midwest Food Bank to add 25 agencies to its distribution schedule. Midwest Food Bank is a Salvation Army first responder, meaning food bank volunteers assemble, pack, and truck disaster relief boxes to areas of natural disasters where the food and supplies are distributed by Salvation Army to people in need. The food bank has 8 locations in Illinois, Indiana, Georgia, Florida, Arizona, and Kenya, Africa. The next story is entitled, More Abuse Charges Filed Against McLean Man, by Edith Brady Lunny. Bloomington. A McLean man facing aggravated criminal sexual abuse charges has been indicted on new charges, accusing him of molesting 2 other victims. Clinton Valentine, 52, was charged in July with aggravated criminal sexual abuse of 2 female minors. On Wednesday, a McLean County grand jury indicted Valentine on additional felony sexual abuse charges stemming from the McLean County Sheriff's Department investigation that started in May. According to a probable cause statement from Assistant State's Attorney Jacob Harlow, 2 more alleged victims came forward on August 4th and September 8th and were interviewed by Sheriff's Department Detective Corey Beverlin. At the August meeting, a woman said she was sexually abused by Valentine as a teenager when she went to visit his home. A similar claim was made by a woman who spoke with the detective in September, according to the prosecutor. In May, sheriff's detectives interviewed 2 alleged victims after a man told police he found pornographic images of the 2 women about 11 years ago in a safe belonging to the suspect. Both women reported that Valentine abused them multiple times and photographed them as children, according to those charges. Valentine was released in July after posting $50,035. An October 30th hearing is scheduled on the new charges. And here's an item entitled, Local Judge Aims for Election, by Pantograph staff. Springfield. Thomas M. Harris is seeking election to the 4th District Appellate Court, where he has served as a justice since 2013. Harris was appointed by the Illinois Supreme Court to the Appellate Court, which serves 30 central Illinois counties. The Lincoln native is a graduate of the University of Illinois and the University of Colorado Law School. He was in private practice from 1998 to 2007, when he was appointed Associate Judge of the 11th Judicial Circuit. In 2008, Harris was elected Resident Circuit Judge for Logan County and served until his assignment to the Appellate Court. He also is an appointed member of the Illinois Supreme Court Commission on Access to Justice and the Illinois Judicial Conference. Harris and his wife Regina live in Lincoln and are the parents of 3 children. Here's a story from the Money section, headlined, Growmark FS Unveil Applicator Simulator. Behind the Wheel Experience Will Pay Off, by Kevin Barlow. Bloomington. In past years, on-the-job experience was the only way to train someone to operate a fertilizer applicator for crops, a machine that can stretch 40 feet on each side. The lessons could be time-consuming and somewhat dangerous. Once we find someone that we think is situated with the right mindset to do it, we have to find a way to train them, said Bob Eichelberger, operations manager with Evergreen FS in Bloomington. We can put them in a $500,000 piece of equipment and send them into the field and know that they are going to hit stuff and break stuff, Or we can develop something where we can bring them into a room and let them get a feel for what they are going to be doing. On Tuesday, GrowMark showcased the new FS Applicator Simulator, created as a training module for FS system operators to practice, study, and enhance their ability, knowledge, and skills, said Eric Wilcox, GrowMark Manager, Crop Protection Application and Equipment. It's kind of cool and fun, but overall, it's a good learning experience, he said. The project took over a year to develop, but will allow operators to gain more experience. It features road and field courses. A front screen and two side screens give the operator a full view of his surroundings. The steering wheel and controls guide the booms and machine's direction and speed. The mechanical seat moves to simulate bumps and turns. To the best of my knowledge, this is the first of its kind in agriculture being used for training, he said. Jeff Bunting, Crop Protection Division Manager at GrowMark, declined to release specifics on the cost of the project. It was a joint effort between GrowMark and the FS members, because to build one like this was a big undertaking, he said. There was a sizable expense to it. We had to figure out how to build one together. But our overall goal is more about recruiting operators and retaining the current ones. The goal for new applicators is to go quickly from a classroom setting to the simulator to the field, he said. Here's an item entitled, Money Donated for Hospital Chapel, by Paul Sweech. Bloomington. The OSF St. Joseph Auxiliary donated $10,000 on Monday to OSF Healthcare St. Joseph Medical Center for the Medical Center's chapel project. The existing chapel will be replaced. Ground will be broken for the replacement chapel in the spring, OSF spokeswoman Libby Allison said. The auxiliary raised the money from its Tree of Lights campaign. And here's an item from today's Daily Digest entitled, ERA Support Rally Set Saturday. Normal. Supporters of the ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment will hold a rally in Uptown Normal and the Quad at Illinois State University on Saturday. The event will start at 10:30 a.m. at Uptown Circle. Participants will move to the ISU Quad about 11:30 a.m. It is sponsored by the ERA Illinois Coalition of Bloomington Normal, a bipartisan group aiming for ERA ratification in Illinois. And here's an item from today's area calendar. Tickets available, Wine and Dine, Brew and Chew, Sustainable Gourmet 2.0, which is going to happen at 5:30 p.m. October 12th at Epiphany Farms Ballroom, 220 East Front Street, Bloomington. Benefits, Ecology Action Center. Tickets limited. Sales deadline is October 8th, $40. And the website is ecologyactioncenter.org. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for September 14th. Please stay tuned.